Hey y'all, I'm going to continue with John chapter 15, starting in verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. So we continue in this beautiful passage where Jesus is saying farewell to his disciples and commissioning them to continue his work. And one thing I've emphasized all throughout this is that Jesus' life in relationship with the Father, in dependence on the Father, in obedience to the Father, in love for the Father, Jesus now inserts the disciples in that. He invites them into the kind of relationship he has with the Father. Of course, Jesus' relationship with the Father, his intimacy, his knowledge of the Father is by nature. It's who he is. Jesus inserts us in it as a gift. We don't have that relationship as a natural part of who we are, but it is a gift of grace to us that we can enter into the intimacy that Jesus shares with the Father. And it's never without Jesus. It's always with Jesus in the Father. That's why he uses this imagery all through here of the vine. Really, I just want to emphasize two things out of this. In verse 11, he says, "These things have I spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." I don't know if we normally think of God as full of joy, but we need to think of God as the most joyful person that ever existed. We need to think of Jesus, yes, as a man of sorrows, yes, acquainted with grief, but as the most joyful person who ever lived. Why? Because he and the Father in the Holy Spirit share this life of mutually poured out love. And Jesus' desire with his commandments is he's not a killjoy. He wants us to have joy. And he knows that the way to have joy is in obeying his commandments. So I think this is one of the most revolutionary passages in all of this. I think we tend to think of God as a killjoy. We tend to think of God as wanting us to have a little bit of suffering because suffering is good. That's not the point. The point is God is all joy, and he wants us to share that joy. And anytime we get away from thinking that God is full of joy and that Jesus is the most joyful man that ever walked the earth, we're far afield from what the Gospels teach us. And then the other thing that I would emphasize out of this section is he says, "No longer do I call you servants, but I have called you friends." There's a biblical progression in relationship with God. In some sense, it does start out with servanthood, with obedience, with mere trust. But God never wants us to remain in that place. His life in us is meant to progress to maturity and depth and understanding. And so he progresses to this point that he calls us friends. Now, I would compare this to Abraham, who is called a friend of God, or Moses, who is called a friend of God. Why were they called friends of God? Because they came to care about what God cared about, like God cared about. And something about friendship with God is that the greater we grow in trust of God and obedience to God, the greater we grow in an understanding of his heart, the more I actually believe he wants to share his business with us and give us a say in what he's doing. And again, an Old Testament reference in Genesis 18, when God speaks with Moses about Sodom, I believe he's inviting Abraham to be a determining part in what he does. That is one of the privileges of prayer. And so we need to marvel at the fact that God Almighty sent his only beloved Son, not just so that we could believe in him and not perish, but so that we could enter into the fullness of joy And so that we could enter into partnership, meaningful partnership with God and His purposes, both in this life and in the life to come. And of course, finally, that is a life of mutually poured out love. Why does Jesus command love one another? Again, it's not because it's an arbitrary command or God likes a certain kind of selflessness. It's because the life of all joy, the life of all liberty, is a life of poured out love for others. And Jesus wants us to follow Him in that life. So may we follow Him in that life. Amen.